Amen. Tell somebody next to you, look at them and say, you don't have to be afraid. Just tell them that today. You don't have to be afraid. What a great song to remind us as we go forward today that we are no longer slaves of fear. God rescues us from living in fear, and Jesus helps us in that way. Take your Bible this morning, turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We have been going through the chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, talking about the resurrection of Jesus, yes, but also our resurrection as believers. And we've learned a lot that for those that know Jesus, one day we will be resurrected as well. We've learned that when we die, if we are Christ followers, our spirit goes to be with the Lord and we're in the presence of God. But yet our body lays here on earth, but one day Jesus will return and our spirits will somehow, some way in the sky, I don't understand it all, but our bodies will be resurrected up and be created new, and our spirits will go back into that body, and we will walk the new earth. I don't get it, but I know that God will do it. It'll be for His glory, and it will be awesome. So we've been talking about knowing that it's bad. It could get worse, but you've heard me say it for 3 weeks now. It's bad. It could get worse, but it's going to get better. We've talked about that. It's bad. It could get worse, but it's going to get better. So knowing that Jesus in the end wins, we've been talking about how do we stay up in a down world? Because even though we have a theology that teaches we win in Jesus, it still doesn't help us a whole lot sometimes in the here and now, because sometimes we get very discouraged and very depressed. So we must constantly be remembering what the future holds for us, so we're not completely down in the dumps with all the stuff that happens. Anybody have a tough week this last week, anybody? You know, it seems like in the life of our church, we've had a lot of families that had tough times in the last few weeks. And been really interesting preaching through about the resurrection. Many families in our church have experienced death in the last few weeks. It's kind of unnormal, unusual for our church. And man, death will constantly assault us, will it not? Yesterday, me and Mark was with the team that was canvassing the community for the campaign and getting ready for that, and get a phone call. And one of our church members had a daughter that tragically passed away yesterday. And me and Mark just jumped in our car and just drove over there and ministered to that family. And, you know, man, death is constantly assaulting us, constantly coming at us. And I think when we look at staying up in a down world and we constantly have this death or this sickness or this financial hardship or this or that flying in our face, we've just got to remember that God is in control and He's not done yet. And we need each other. The church needs each other to pray for each other, to care for each other. That family member was Marshall Shirley Veach. Their daughter Donna passed away yesterday. So we're, as a church, we'll rally around them and pray for them and pray for them. Because, man, it's easy to get down in this world that we live in. It is so easy. So the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 has talked all about, you've got to believe that resurrection's coming. You've got to believe that even though it's tough now, Jesus will resurrect those that believe in Him. And he's been reminding us that. And if there was a big idea that I wanted to convey to you today, just a big idea that if you forgot everything else, and you could just remember this one big idea today, this is what I want to leave you with. Can I do that? Here you go. Write it down. Death is defeated. The end. Death is defeated. Now, here's what we see in this world, is that we see death, don't we, a lot. So, Kenny, how can you say death is defeated when we experience death? Death all the time. Well, that's why you've got to stay future focused. And you've got to stay focused on what is coming rather than what you are seeing right now. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. And we go through, Paul wraps it up. He spent the whole chapter talking about the future resurrection. And he is kind of summarizing it again. So you've already heard it once, and he's going to kind of give you a recap of what you've heard. So it's, if Paul thinks it's important to tell you again, guess what? It's probably important for me to tell it again and for me to hear it again and for all of us to hear it again. If you missed the whole sermon series, you really need to hear it. Amen? So this is what Paul says in verse 50. He says, I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So he's already told us that we can't, our bodies aren't going to go to heaven. We die, our spirit, if we're saved, and we know Jesus goes to be in heaven, but one day there'll be a resurrection, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. And then he tells us this. He says, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, meaning that we won't all die, but we will all be changed. So everybody's going to get a new body if they believe in Jesus, if they believe in Christ. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable. So those that have passed away, that know Jesus, and when at the end the trumpet is sounded, they will raise up, and that new body will meet the spirit that's been in heaven, and they'll live again, which is pretty amazing. And this is a neat, he adds something to it. And we will be changed, meaning that those that are alive at that point, okay, those that are alive when the trumpet sounds, they get to skip death and they just get a new body if they believe in Jesus. Now, again, I don't know what that looks like. I know that the Bible teaches that those that have died before those at the last trumpet, they get first dibs, all right? They get first dibs. They get their new body first, and then those that are alive we'll get it. But here's what I know. Whether Jesus comes back today or 2,000 years from now, hey, it doesn't matter, because if I'm in Christ, I get a new body. The end. I get a new body. One that's not full of sin. One that's not full of sickness. One that's not full of death. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable. We've talked about this. And the mortal with immortality. Never will you die again. Ever again. Immortal. When that happens, amazing. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Now, this is the good part. How can I tell you that death is defeated? How can I tell you that? Because at the end, when the trumpet sounds, it's not sounded yet, okay? Because notice what he says, when it sounded, then the saying is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. So listen, when the perishable, when, what we understand is that death will one day no longer exist on earth. It will be over, and the new earth, the new heavens will be here. But it's not here yet. Now, when that day comes, we can say death has lost its sting. Right now, because we sin in this world, it brings a cataclysmic mess, a cosmic mess of death and suffering and hurt. It brings all of that. This is why we see marriages fall apart. It's why we see disaster. It's why we see hurt and pain. But one day, death, which is the final blow of sin, that's the final thing, one day it'll all be over. Never will we die again. And it will be beautiful, and it will be wonderful. Death loses in the end. It's defeated. And he says, but thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus. Why is death defeated? Are you ready? Here's why. Because 2,000 years ago, we've talked about it all in chapter 15. For 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, who was God in flesh, went to this earth, and he did not have to die, but he chose to die on the cross as our substitute. He took death upon himself. He was laid in the grave. 3 days later, he rose from the grave. And guess what? When he comes back again, he's bringing with him resurrection. And we're going to live again, which is amazing. You think, well, King, that's awesome. But you said death is defeated. And the Bible clearly says that it won't be defeated until the end, when we see death no more. So how do I stay up in a down world? How do I do that? Well, I'm so glad you asked today. Because verse 58, which is the one we will expound this morning, verse 58 is the key. Verse 58, I spent 4 weeks teaching you this, all to get to verse 58. Are you ready? 4 weeks of redundancy so we could get to 58. 4 weeks of talking about you're going to get a new body if you believe in Jesus. Christ is coming back because he's alive. Just so we can stay up in a down world. Why? How do we do it? You ready? Verse 58, therefore. Every therefore is therefore a reason. And it tells us, Paul has spent the whole chapter. Well, just spit it out. Can he get to it? I'm getting there. Hold on. Calm down. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, look what he says. He says, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Here's what he says. Because we rise, we don't stop today. We'll rise tomorrow and we'll work today. We will win in the future and we won't give up today. We will keep going. So look at your neighbor. Look at them. Point at them. Repeat after me. You ready? Say, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves to the work of the Lord. Know that your labor is not in vain. Most of y'all did that. Some of y'all were too cool to do it. But I love you anyway, all right? The principle still remains the same. That if we are to stay up in a down world, if we're to do that, we have got to guard our minds with the thought that resurrection is coming. And we've got to have a ministry that means something today. And we've got to preach something that means something. We got to serve in a way that means something, because our Jesus is not dead. He is alive. So we will not live like we're dead. We will live like we are alive. When we planted this church 4 years ago, we did not name it Death Community Church. We named it Life Community Church, because we believe that Jesus brings life to us, and we want to bring life to the community of Owensboro, Kentucky. Life Community. And that's why it's called Life. So you know what? If we're going to be Life Community Church, you ready? Y'all have got to wake up this morning, okay? You got to amen a little bit. You got to read and get in the text this morning. You got to take some notes. You got to write it down. And you got to get ready to leave this place, ready to do something. All right? Amen. You ready? Amen. All right? We're not death community. We are life community. So since we're that, let's live for Jesus. All right? Here we go. Here we go. Since death is defeated, write that on your notes. Since death is defeated, since it is, it's coming one day, four things that we do. Four things that we do. Since we're alive today, you ready? And we're going to resurrect. You don't have time for being discouraged today. You don't have time to be walking around, moping around. Oh, life is so pitiful. We don't got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Thank you, Miss. Man, I love my church. Love my church. Ain't nobody got time. That's wonderful. Here we go. Four things. You ready? Number one, since death is defeated, I will stand firm for my Savior. Look at what Paul says to begin with. He says, stand firm. That means that you don't buckle. You don't move. Those that were being told back in Paul's day that the resurrection wasn't real, somebody was trying to push them, discourage them with a false doctrine, a false theology. You know, our church is very casual. I don't care if you wear shorts, flip-flops. I don't care if your hair is green, purple, red, or yellow. Listen, I don't care if you have tattoos from your head to your toe. It does not matter at this church. We simply do not care. I don't care if you drink coffee while I preach. I don't care if you wear high heels or a suit and tie. I could care less. But what I care about is this, that we will always stand firm for the Savior by believing the truth of the Bible. Always. Always. How do we stand firm? We know that resurrection is coming. We know that we win. Here's how we stand firm. We do not compromise what we believe theologically. Now, here's the deal. We can be tattooed from head to toe in this place. You can have enough piercings in your face to set off Homeland Security in the airport and send you to jail, all right? I don't care. But as we study the Word of God, we can do that and not compromise on what we believe theologically. Meaning that we always must stand firm for the Savior by not being ashamed of what the Bible teaches. So we take the Word of God and we say this. We believe that the Word of God in the 66 books are inspired by God. It is infallible. It is inerrant, meaning that it does not have errors or problems in it. We believe the Word of God. And you know what I love? I love seeing some of you all that didn't grow up in the church, that or that you walked away from the church and you've lived like the devil for a little bit. I love now that you guys are getting in the Word with all your piercings and all your tattoos and you're leading Bible studies. And you going to prayer meeting. And everybody says, ma'am, where are you going? You say, I'm going to church. And they say, you going to church dressed like that? Yes, I am. What church do you go? That's Life Community. Come see us at the community college. See, we want to stand firm for the Savior. And because Jesus is resurrected, we're not going to give up on what we believe. That's what they were tempted to do. Did you know that? Tempted to give up on a core doctrine of belief, which is the resurrection. Here's the thing. The wrapping may change. The packaging may change. But the contents never do. Did you hear that? The style and the methods may change. But the substance, the core, never does. And that's what we got to remember. As a mobile church, it's going to change. It's going to constantly look different. Different seasons will bring in different stuff. But you ready for this? Even though it's constantly changing, we will never back down on the truth of God's Word. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Did you know that? So we're going to stand for the Savior. And we will be a Bible-believing, biblically practicing church. Now, we see that because the resurrection is coming, we can't compromise what we believe. We've got to be strong. Now, by the way, let me add a subtext to that. You ready? Just because you believe the Bible doesn't mean you need to be a jerk about it. You know what I mean by that? You don't need to be a jerk about it. You ever had somebody say, well, you need to repent. And you need a nose job because I just broke it with my Bible. That ain't the Jesus style. Truth and grace is what we need. Amen. If you got all grace, you won't have any truth. If you got all truth, you'll be mean as a hornet. So you need truth and grace. Amen. Both of them together. Well, you didn't ask for that one, but you got that one for free. All right, so here we go. Second, if we believe death is defeated, I will not be moved from my mission. I will not be moved from my mission. He says, stand firm. And then he says, let nothing move you. So you keep being the church, is what Paul's telling the church of Corinth. You keep being the church that believes in Jesus. And you don't compromise on that. And you stick to your core principles. You stick to your core values of who you are. This church must always stick to the mission. Well, Kenny, what's our mission? Our mission is very, very simple. Very, very simple. We want to be a connecting, caring, and changing church. Connecting people to Jesus, caring for their practical needs, and changing the world through missions. That's what we want to do. And we're going to stick to that mission of being a connecting, caring, and changing church. And even though the world gets crazy and it gets hairy and everything is depressing us and discouraging us, we're not going to buckle on that. Amen, church. You know, how do we become really a connecting, caring church? Well, really, you connect, you care, and you change through the big five. Worship, evangelism, discipleship, ministry, fellowship. No church is complete unless they got the big five. Worship, evangelism, discipleship, ministry, fellowship. Your life is not complete unless you're worshiping God, unless you are being discipled, unless you are telling people about Jesus, unless you are helping people through ministry, unless you are part of a group of believers in a congregation and also in a small group, such as a life group, where you are being discipled. You're not complete unless you do that. So we know that in the time that we are on this world and everything is pushing us down and hurting us, we just cannot compromise on our mission. This church must be a church that continually connects, cares, and changes, continually offers worship, discipleship, fellowship, evangelism, and ministry, that we cannot stop doing that. That we need to be that kind of church. And here's what I want to tell you. It's so easy to be moved from the mission. Did you know that? It's so easy to forget what it's really about. It is. It's so easy to think, oh man, you know, I want a church that looks like this or acts like this or does this or that. And you can so easily forget the mission of evangelism, worship, fellowship, discipleship, ministry. Here's the reality. If we meet in a barn somewhere, we can still be on mission. Did you know that? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if we're sitting in a college auditorium or if we're out by a lake or we're in the biggest cathedral in New York City. It doesn't matter. All that matters is that we are focused on what God has called us to do. Amen? Are you focused on what God's called you to do? You know, if you're not focused on the mission, you're living like Jesus isn't alive. Did you know that? If you're not engaged in a worshiping experience with God, if you're not being discipled in a life group, if you're not ministering and helping people, if you're not out sharing your faith, if you're not involved in the church life, did you know today you're living like Jesus isn't alive? You know, some big words. Yes, it is. I know it is. But see, because Jesus is alive, Paul tells us to live like we're alive. And if we're going to live like we're alive, that means we've got to do the things Jesus told us to do. So the great commitment to the great commandment and the great commission will grow a great church. It'll make a great Christian if you're serving God in those five ways. So we see that you need to be committed to Jesus in a living way. You cannot forget. But third, I will maintain my ministry. So he says this. He says, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Give yourselves to the work of the Lord. So we remember our purpose, but we also are doing something, that we are doing the work of the Lord. So even though the Corinthian believers were tempted to believe that Jesus did not rise from the dead, they had to change that way of thinking, and they had to say, we've still got a ministry. We still got to help people. Do you know what your ministry is? I mean, are you fully committed to the work of the Lord? Do you know your ministry? How many people have been through class 301 here at the church? A bunch of you have. Every one of you need to go through the life system of 101, 201, 301, 401. You need to do that. In class 301, we talk about your shape, your spiritual gifts, your heartbeat, your abilities, your personality, and your life experiences. Shape, S-H-A-P-E. And we talk about how you can use the way God shaped you to serve and to do great things for the Lord. Paul says because Jesus lives and we're going to live, we should really act like we're alive right now. So let's serve. Let's serve and let's be active. You know, I heard a person say one time, Kenny, you know, man, I just can't at the church haul the totes or this or that. That's okay. You know, you may not be shaped to do that, but you might be shaped to do other things. Well, you are shaped to do something for the Lord. You just have to figure out how you've been shaped by God. And then you can't diverge from that. You have to follow that. Well, Kenny, how do I serve? I'm so glad you asked. Because we've got out there on that table a whole slew of areas to serve in. Did you know that? For you to use your gift. Hey, who's excited? Who's excited that Life Group and Kids Life is going to be on the same night? So you can go to Kids Life, or the kids can go to Kids Life and you go to Bible study at the same time. Who's excited about that? Yeah. Brett's excited about that. I said, who's excited about that? I said, we're life community, not death community. Who's, man, you getting me this morning, church? Who's excited about that? Amen. All right. Here's the deal. Y'all had to get some blood moving, all right? Y'all coagulating on me, all right? Carl, here we go. Here's what we need to know. You ready? We're doing that to help the ministry, youth and Bible study groups together. We're doing that in connection for a purpose, right? But you ready for this? It opens up a brand new area of serving for people to work on Wednesday nights with the kids, all right? So guess what? Y'all need to serve. Did you know it is physically proven, scientifically proven, that if you have children in your life, you'll live longer. Did you know that? If you have children, there are some things that God, yeah, the daddy's excited, isn't he? Scientifically proven to live longer if you have kids. Some people aren't able to have children. But you know what? That doesn't mean that they can't have children in their life. Amen? So you ready? I want all of you all to make a long age and to live long, you know? So that's why all y'all need to sign up to work with kids. Amen? We're giving you an opportunity to increase your lifespan. Did you know that? We're giving you an opportunity to increase your lifespan. And let me tell you something. So proud of Carl Cole today. He's one of our deacons back there serving at the kids today. And you know what Carl told me today? He said, Kenny, he said, we need more men working with our children back there. You know, that's what he said. And I said, Carl, I couldn't agree. He said, if our little ones don't know that the men of this church will step up and serve God, he says, they've got to know. Well, Kenny, I'm just not prepared. Well, yes, you are. You got Jesus. He's alive. He overcomes death. You can overcome a bunch of crazy two-year-olds. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. Understand that we got to maintain our ministry. But it's not just kids. We serve and however God's gifted us, however we can, we just don't stop. Finally, this is the best part. I will not forget, since death is defeated, I will not forget about the fruit. About the fruit. Look what he says. We always give ourselves to the work of the Lord. Why? Because you know. Can you just read this part with me, church? You ready? On three. You ready? Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Paul says, since Jesus is alive, whatever you do for the gospel, whatever you do for the kingdom, whatever you're doing and serving, it's not useless. Some of you all will preach and teach and you'll never see somebody except Jesus. Some of you all will serve and do acts of love and kindness and you may never see somebody come to know Jesus. But here's the thing, the Bible promises that whatever you're doing is not in vain. That if you're doing it for Jesus, it matters to God. It counts to God. Some of you all have very visible services in the church, and some of you guys have things that nobody sees. Here's what I know. I know that my ears are very visible. And I know that if my ears were cut off, I could still live. Did you know that? But you take something like my heart that I have never seen with my eyes, and I will probably die without ever seeing my heart. You will die without ever seeing your heart, your kidneys, your lungs. But if you take a heart out of a chest, something that you can't see, if you take it out, guess what? I will die. See, you cannot forget that if you serve the Lord, God is using you. And He will bless your ministry. You just can't forget it. So with all that being said and done, hey, I'm going to ask you a question. Are you living today like death is defeated? Or are you living today like death is won? I mean, your Christian life, are you living like Jesus is alive? Or are you living like He didn't rise from the dead? Because there is absolutely no way you can stay up in a down world if you don't live like Jesus is alive. You can't do it. Which means, listen, you ready? If you're going to live like Jesus is alive, you got to get your blood flowing, both physically and spiritually, church. You've got to get your blood flowing. If not, you will act like a dead man. Well, Kenny, does that mean I need to go to class 201? Yes. Well, Kenny, does that mean I need to go to class 301? Yes. Kenny, does that mean I need to go to 401? Yes. Does that mean, Kenny, I need to be in a life group? Yes. Kenny, does that mean I need to sign up for the season of serving? Yes. Kenny, does that mean I need to help in the nursery? Yes. Absolutely. You need to live like you're alive. You need to live like you're alive. Does that mean I need to stay after church and help these guys tear down the stage? Guys that help tear down the stage? What's the answer to that question? Yeah. There you go. You got it. You've got to live like you're alive.
You got to just jump in there. Well, nobody invited me to come help tear down the stage. Congratulations, you're invited. You're invited. Nobody invited me to come to prayer meeting. You're invited. Nobody invited me. Well, listen, just stop it. You're invited to everything. Two questions and I'm done. Number one, will you live your life like death is won? Will you be depressed, discouraged, a life without faith, a life without hope? You think that it's all going to collapse in on you and it's going to end you. Are you going to live lazy, unactive? That's my first question. My second question is this, and I'm done. Or will you live like Christ is alive? Will you serve? Will you believe the truth of the gospel? Will you take a stand for what's right? Will you stand up for Jesus? You know, you today can never live like Christ is alive if you don't have life in you to begin with. Knowing that Jesus Christ died and he rose again, unless you have turned from your sin and turned to Christ, you don't have life. You need a personal relationship with Jesus. I'm going to ask our band to come. And just, if you would bow your head and close your eyes today, maybe today you would say, Kenny, I have never given my heart to Jesus. If I was to die today, I'm not going to go to heaven. I'm going to spend an eternity in hell. I don't know Christ as my Savior. But I want to turn from my sin because I know it's not right. I want to turn to Jesus. Today, if that's you today and you don't know Jesus, I want to invite you to know Christ. I want you to pray this prayer with me. It's not magic words or hocus pocus. It's a prayer from the heart, a prayer of repentance, of belief in Jesus. And it goes like this. Maybe today you would pray to receive Christ for the very first time in your life. Open up your heart to Jesus. Turn from your sin and turn to Christ. You ready? It goes like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, and I'm tired of it. Please forgive me. I believe Jesus died for my sin, and he rose again. Come into my life and save me. Thank you for saving me. With head still bowed and eyes still closed, if you prayed that today for the very first time, asking Jesus into your heart, would you just let me know? I'm not going to call you out or embarrass you, but you just real quickly slide your hand up and say, Kenny, I prayed to receive Christ today. Would you do that real quick, up and down, if you did that real quick today? God bless you. Anybody else today? Maybe today, if you did that, you need to come and make it public. Maybe today you're a Christian. Been down, man, the world has got you down. But this series has challenged you to know that Jesus is up. He's up. And we got to ride with Jesus. Maybe as a Christian, you let some things slip in that shouldn't be there, and you need to turn from that, repent of that, and begin to live higher where Christ is. If you need to do that today, I challenge you to come and pray, to talk to one of our deacons, talk to me. So God, we love you. We thank you for Jesus. In this moment now, I pray that you would just stir our hearts for what you desire in our lives. Help us to stay up in a down world. We pray in your name. Amen. Stand up if you would. Let's sing. You can pray. We have our prayer bracelets here for the campaign. Don't forget about those. But our deacons here want to pray with you. I would love to pray. If you accepted Christ, come tell me this morning.